Good morning. It is April 11th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading in worship this morning. Reverend Heather Hicks will be assisting. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ and Earl Linhart singing for us as well. If you are visiting with us this morning, we invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we know that you are here. If you would like to learn more about this church, you may contact our church via Facebook or by calling the church office at 614-882-3155. We're glad that you are worshiping with us, and if you are watching this service live, you are invited to join our Zoom coffee hour immediately following the service this morning. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. We have several announcements to share this morning. First of all, the flowers this morning are given by Debbie Kneeler Bice in memory of her husband, Charlie. We want to announce to you all that construction on the new parking lot will begin this week. If you stop by the church this week, please be careful about the construction area and avoid it if possible. Our Circle for Women's group will be meeting on Thursday at 11 a.m. for study and fellowship, and you can contact the church office for more information. You're also invited to join the Dine In Zoom event this Friday, April 16th at 7 p.m. Actually, I think we had that last on April 9th, didn't we? Excuse me on that. I'm behind a week on that announcement. But we'll do it again next month on the second Friday of the month. And with that, let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Let us be called to worship. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and we celebrated the singular event of the resurrection. Now we live beyond Easter, where death no longer has a hold on our world. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and God rules over all the nations. Let us worship our God together. Let us pray. Ever-present God, stir in our hearts a holy expectancy so that we will be ready and open to hear your voice. As we live in the wonder of the empty tomb, open our eyes to the wonders of your presence in our world today. May our spirits be open to the calling of your Spirit, that in listening for you we might hear you, that in meeting you we might follow you. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name.
I have a message for our young friends today. Last week was Easter, as you know, but Easter goes beyond just Easter Day. Easter in the church is actually a season, if you didn't know that. And so I thought I would do another Easter message today. I have something very familiar to all of you. It's a little egg, and there's something very special about this little egg, because most of you have probably done an Easter egg hunt either at your house or with family members outside of home. And there's always something inside, right? There's always something inside of these plastic eggs, usually candy or maybe pennies or coins, maybe even like little erasers and fun toys inside. But this egg is special because if I open it up, you'll notice that it's empty. And there's something very special about an empty egg. When we think about eggs for Easter, eggs usually contain something. Real eggs contain something, don't they? They contain life, a new life inside of it. And it's growing and being nourished inside of that little egg that looks kind of like a rock. It looks dead, doesn't it? A real egg. But eventually, that creature, either a bird or a reptile, will peck at the egg and come out. And that empty egg symbolizes new life, doesn't it? When it's empty, we know that that creature has escaped death and has gone on to its life. And we can think of the same thing when we think of the empty tomb. Because when the ladies went to the tomb in the morning, Jesus had been inside the tomb, but it was empty. And so we celebrate the empty tomb and the empty egg as a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, and that Jesus rose from the dead and left the tomb empty. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the empty tomb and the empty egg, which for us symbolize new life in Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, O God, and we ask that you would help us as we grow and learn about Jesus and his resurrection, that we might spread it to all that we know. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands at his side. And then his disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen and yet have come, who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Let us pray. O Lord God, may these, your words of Holy Scripture, be your precious words for us this morning. And as we ponder upon this passage, may your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts, so that what we think and what I say may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. I didn't even bother with an introduction to this scripture passage because it is so familiar. I would guess that most of us have heard of the Doubting Thomas scripture. I would say it's probably one of the more familiar scriptures in passages in scripture. It's so popular that you can say, I'm a Doubting Thomas to anyone, and they'll know what you're talking about. And at least for me, it is a passage, a loved passage, a passage that I have enjoyed ever since I can remember. I've preached many sermons on this passage. I know this passage forwards and backwards, which is why I was a little shocked this week by noticing something that I have never noticed before, even though I've read this passage so many times. And what I noticed was the wounds. Yes, the wounds. I've read this passage 100 times, but for the first time, I noticed that Jesus has wounds. Or more specifically, he still has wounds. Here we are as we read this passage on the other side of Easter, on the other side of Good Friday. Good Friday, where Jesus had nails driven through his flesh and a spear piercing his side. Jesus is then buried, and then on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and he had a resurrection body, one that was able to appear in the room, even though the door was locked. And for the first time this week, I thought about, so why does this resurrection body still have the scars of his suffering? As I said, I never thought about it before. A question I never asked. Of course, others have. Episcopalian priest David Smith wrote about this passage, If Jesus is the first fruits of those who believe, and his bodily resurrection is a sign to us of our own forthcoming resurrection, does this mean that when the time comes, we will carry our scars with us into the kingdom of God? I don't know about you, but I always figured that when the kingdom comes, my resurrection body would be a somewhat idealized version of my existing body. I'm not sure what that would be. I guess I've always hoped that after the resurrection, I would look like I did 30 years ago or so. I certainly had always thought that the aches and pains that I suffer through now would be gone in the resurrected life. But here is Jesus in our passage, the resurrected Jesus appearing to the disciples and Thomas, and he still has the wounds of his crucifixion. The wounds are not erased. And in fact, Jesus calls attention to them. See my hands, touch my side. Clearly, the marks of the crucifixion are still with Jesus even after the resurrection. And I will say there is a mystery then in the suffering of Jesus. His wounds are special because we know that his wounds are deeply tied to the love he had for us. And that somehow they are essential to our whole understanding of Jesus. Jesus is recognized by his wounds. In appearing to them, he shares his wounds with them by showing them his hands and his side. And in the case of Thomas, Jesus invites the struggling disciple to feel his wounds, to make physical contact with them, to be sure that they are there and they are real. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand and place it in my side, he tells Thomas. Now, there's no indication that Thomas took him up on this offer, but there is a message here. Thomas is looking for healing of his soul, and Jesus confronts him with his wounds. This is the picture of the resurrected Jesus that we find: gentle, forgiving, loving, reconciled, and still wounded. We who are living on this side of Easter have a tendency to focus on the happy ending of Easter. Jesus is risen. And we can move on to life after the resurrection. But we know that's not how it works. It's not how it works in the New Testament. The resurrection of Jesus doesn't lead his followers to forget the cross and move on. To the contrary, the resurrection of Jesus leads his followers to refocus on the cross. And two, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to preach Christ crucified. The cross is not moved to the background of the story after Easter. It is brought to the front and center. Even after the resurrection, Jesus' wounds are still visible. And that is not the happy ending that we're often expecting from Easter. We want Easter to be the sign that all is well with the world and that the troubles that we face, the troubles that the world faces, are done with, over, gone. Easter is supposed to be all trumpets and lilies and hallelujahs and happy faces. And it is. But the wounds remain. Christian theologian Shelley Rambo suggests that in light of Jesus' attention to the wounds, we need to consider the meaning of the resurrection power in attending to and mindfully transforming the wounds of life rather than erasing them. She suggests that our usual process in dealing with the wounds of life are to get over it and move on without attending to the reality that the wounds of life remain even as we heal. As she puts it, the trauma of death remains in the midst of life. This might help us understand why in a post-Easter world we can't seem to find enough peace on earth. And so we ask ourselves, why is there so much grief, hurt, fear, anger, and conflict still at large in the world? And why do we find ourselves paralyzed by these things? Why do such debilitating realities remain even as we proclaim that Christ has been raised and that death has been defeated and that victory has been won? The wounds that we receive in life remain with us, along with the good news of the resurrection. They remain with us and are there for us to confront and to deal with. As Presbyterian pastor Roger Gensch wrote about the wounds of life, facing such wounds is essential if we are to be an Easter people who engage rather than ignore the death-tending realities of our world and bear witness to the resurrected life. That was the message of the Christian community living after Easter. that salvation has come and the world is still fallen. That reconciliation has happened, but the wounds are still there. We are healed, but the scars remain. But the message was Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That is the good news for us. The God who created us, loved us, redeemed us. This is the God who suffered for us. This is the good news that the disciples preached after Easter, that Christ suffered and died for us and rose from the grave to grant us hope, and the wounds are there to prove it. And this becomes the mission of the Christian community, to be places where the wounds of life are touched and attended to, released, liberated, and redeemed. The church becomes a place where anger, fear, agitation, grief, and loss are acknowledged and addressed, where that anger is transformed into compassion for those who are hurting, and where energies are refocused into understanding and healing. The church becomes that place where we notice the wounds of others and embrace them and their wounds. As Gensch writes, the church is a place of respite, not because we are about to retreat there, to ignore the wounds, but because it is a place where the risen Lord directs our attention to them and breathes his spirit on us, empowering us for healing ministries in his name. As we re-enter life after Easter, we are confronted with all the hurts of life, but we are also reminded of the resurrected Christ, who invites us to touch the wounds of our world and begin the process of healing. This is the message of Easter. The 20th century German theologian Jürgen Moltmann suggests that the good news of the gospel is not simply that Christ who was crucified has now been raised, but that Christ who has been raised is the same Christ who was crucified. And let that be good news for us as well. That the Christ who is risen invites us to touch the wounds of our own life and be touched as well. And in that process, begin to heal. Amen.
And earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia, our triumphant holy day. Alleluia, who did once upon the cross. Alleluia, suffer to redeem our loss. Hallelujah.
O Lord, hear our prayers. Mighty God, we are living now in the days beyond Easter, still shouting our alleluias. But for some, the alleluias are filled with sorrow. And for all of us, we have a sadness over a year lost to the global pandemic, over the ongoing tensions in our society, over people killed in mass shootings around our country. As we move into our second Easter season under the pandemic, we continue to grieve these losses and suffer this pain. And yet our alleluia is also are also tinged with hope. Hope that soon this virus will be under control. Hope that the vaccine rollout will continue to happen and do what it is supposed to do. Hoping that our nation will find a way to create a society that is better, safer, and more just. Even though death surrounds us on every side, we stand firm in the promise that Christ conquered death. Christ conquered the powers of sin and evil that pervade our world and infect our lives. It is Christ's resurrection that gives us hope in the midst of stress, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of our sorrow. It is your power, O God, revealed in the resurrection, that gives us the courage to approach you in prayer and hope as we offer our prayer requests to you. Grant your risen presence to those who are hurting, those who are anxious, those who are lost, those who are in especially need of you these days. You are restoring our world, Lord God, and you use us to do so. So God, our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we grieve and we hope and we pray for you to act. And in so acting, you inspire us to act, for we are your resurrection people. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may you go forth into the world as an Easter people, healed by Christ and given the power to begin the process of healing others. Go now, and may the Spirit of God be with you this day and every day. Amen.